Hello, and welcome to Ask Margot. I'm Margot Coatsworth. Thank you for your fine company today. Please do send in your questions and I will answer them. My belief is that there's no problem that we can't get an answer to. My intro today begins with a little something about me and why I'm here hosting this program. Each time I talk about just one thing I do, so it doesn't all become terribly repetitive for you. Today, I thought I'd tell you a bit about my family. I come from a family with five children, and I have four children, and the gods graciously sent me dream ones. They're smart, talented, funny, and I humbly thank God for them. Without them, my life would be very dull indeed. They've helped me enormously with my work, critiquing, proofreading my books, offering creative support, designing logos, interpreting my design ideas, and helping with the seemingly endless challenges I've had with IT and technology. And of course, the vast unknown universe that we call social media. Sometimes the feedback I get is quite blunt. Don't do that anymore. It's getting no engagement. You're wasting your time. That kind of thing. Fantastic. I wouldn't be without it. Of course, just having children doesn't qualify my hosting this show, but any parent knows that you learn a whole lot along the way. Being a parent teaches you empathy. And when I trained as a therapist, the first thing they want to know when you apply is if you're empathetic. So that's my bit about me for the day. And now onto your questions, which is what we're here for. This question is from Hendrix. And he says, I don't understand women. When we were out with friends at dinner recently, I quietly told my girlfriend she had some food in her teeth. You know, that spinach in the teeth thing. Apparently, it was good that I did that, and she went to the bathroom to deal with it. But yesterday, I told her she looked tired, and she got upset with me. I don't know what I did wrong or why that was any different from telling her about the spinach. I just don't understand women. What's that all about? Well, I can easily understand that, Hendrix, and explain. If you tell a woman discreetly about something she wouldn't want that she can fix, such as a tag on her clothing showing, or something in her hair that shouldn't be there, or a button undone, then she'll be grateful. Two provisos here. If there's a spider in her hair, remove it before telling her what it is. A spider in her hair will make a woman freak out. And if it's an undone button, be sure she hasn't deliberately chosen it to be undone. You'll be able to tell from her mood and her demeanour which it is. She might be feeling frisky, and for you to tell her to button up will not be cool. So, if it's something you tell her that she needs to know, that doesn't feel like a criticism, and she can fix it, that's great. Everybody will be happy. If, however, you tell her she looks overtired or worn out, or like she's sick, especially if she's not, she will be cross. Because, think about it, what good would your noticing and telling her do? None. She knows when she's tired and how she feels more than any other person looking on ever would. How will your observing it, and worse still, commenting on it, be helpful in any way at all? Do you see? Gentlemen, you must always think about how helpful your comments are going to be. What purpose do they serve? If you think she's terribly tired, perhaps you should take her on a holiday or ask what you can do to support her because she's so terribly busy, but not because she looks like a wreck. Don't point out that she has bags under her eyes. That's all I've got to say about that. Actually, no, it's not. If you say something, let's say, not very charming, or the word that came into my head was to slag somebody. It's a bit of an ugly word, but I looked it up and it says abusive and slightly insulting. It's British slang. So you know what I mean by that. You can't undo a comment like that by saying one nice thing, by one other compliment. It just doesn't balance out because those things kind of stick. So if you've been bad, it takes more than one good thing to neutralize it. That's just a law of the mating game. So be nice. Girls love that. I hope that quite opinionated opinion of mine is the right answer for you, Hendrix. When in doubt, take flowers. Don't criticize. Think about the effect of what you're saying. and if it's going to be helpful. How is it going to help? How is it going to make her feel? Actually, it makes you think about a friend of mine who used to be married to quite a good-looking chap. And when she broke off with him and was going out with someone else, he said to her, "What was that all about?" Meaning, this man isn't good-looking. And she said, "It's not about how you look. It's about how you make someone feel." And that's very true for women. If you make a woman feel good, you're going to win. So think about that next time you make a comment to somebody about how they look or what they're doing. Our second question today is from Isabella, and she says, "Hello, Margot. Sometimes I feel absolutely surrounded by negativity, and I feel so worn down by it. People are worried and fearful about everything, it seems. Money, their health, the government, job security, everything seems a cause for worry. I feel like it's sucking the life out of me and I don't know how to get on top of it. It makes me feel depressed and I don't want to be." I completely relate to that feeling of being surrounded by impending doom, Isabella. The first thing I would say is to look at the concept of worry. What does worrying do for us? Yes, you're right, it does absolutely nothing good. In no way, at any time, has worry ever contributed to our lives in the history of the world. The very nature of it is negative and pointless. If you can identify it as soon as it pops up and then say, "No thank you, I choose not to worry," and dismiss whatever the worrying thought was, that's the way to handle it. For example, if your child is late home, you could allow yourself to go into full swing worry, big time. But how will that help you, or your child, or the people around you? It won't. We need to see that there's an energy in everything, every thought we have. So if you want a positive outcome, why would you apply your energy to a negative mode of thinking? Our minds can't hold contradictory beliefs. Go left, go right. You don't go either, do you? It doesn't work. So why would you choose a negative thought when the outcome you want is a positive one? It's counterintuitive. Actually, it's kind of stupid, and we're not stupid people, and we don't do stupid things. Just be aware of your power energetically and choose to project, resonate, however you like to couch it, the energy that you want and not the stuff you don't want. Remember who's in charge of you. No one but you can decide the energy you want your life to be about. As for those around you, you may have to make a stand. I'm dealing with this myself at the moment with a very dear but wickedly dismal friend who I feel completely depleted by after speaking with them. Eventually, some kind of action has to be taken. The first step is probably to cut them short when they're on a negative roll. You could say, "Oh, I find it all so overwhelming, but isn't it great that the weather's turned? You know, I'm going to have fun this summer, blah, blah, blah." Say, "It's all too much for me." No one can be offended by that, and you're making a point. So redirect the conversation. I've got a friend who will go and powder her nose. That's old-fashioned speak for taking a moment out. If she doesn't care for the conversation. The problem with that is that she can get up three times during a meeting with people and they don't really know why she's leaving. So she hasn't actually made the point that she doesn't want to be a part of these conversations. You really have to say, "Can we talk about something more positive? Because this chat makes me feel yuck and I find it hard to shake it off." Only a truly selfish person will ignore that. I have to say that if this person or these people don't have to stay in your life, if they have children or family, they probably have to stay, then you really need to consider whether you want them to be a part of your world. Perhaps you need to set them free to find people who are more like them. It's that kind of birds of a feather thing, stick together. You need to find people who add to your life, who are encouraging and who have similar values. This is all about values. If you don't want that sky is falling stuff in your life, then move away from those people who see life like that and are making those choices. Remember who is in the choosing seat of your life. You don't have to have junk that you don't want in your life, but only you can step away from that. The tricky bit is how to do it. Don't be an initiator of seeing or being with that person. So socially, for example, if you're the one who usually calls, pull back on that. Don't organise social things with them anymore. You can still smile at them and acknowledge them without having to actively go out of your way to spend time with them. It is kind of an awful thing to be cut off by somebody and not know why, but you'll have to decide if you actually want to tell someone that you find them too negative. Most people won't respond well to that. It's not easy, and it entirely depends on what kind of person they are as to how you should best handle it. I'd start with a soft approach and make it stronger if that doesn't work. You can encourage yourself along the way by saying to yourself, "It's my life and I get to choose." Because that's right and that's true. So best wishes for taking back some ground, Isabella. Our third question today is from James. I'm allowed to make up names for these people because we don't use people's real names. So I thought, there could be a bit of a spot of revenge in there. Actually, I'm just kidding, but I did once know quite a wicked James. So back to our point at hand. James says, "I've read some of your writing and you often talk about who we really are. But what do you mean by that? Can you explain a bit more?" Well, sometimes we look at ourselves and we can't quite see who the real us is. Are we the person of our five senses? Or are we the other less defined senses? Is there an essence that transcends all the physical aspects of us? Where do personality, nature, and nurture fit in? Where do we begin and end? In short, what is the most accurate definition of who we really are? This next little exercise we're going to do is a wonderful way to figure out that question, even if you're not a person who particularly thinks about the existential meaning of life. It's also a great way to detach if you're feeling under pressure or under attack, and to kind of center and ground yourself. It's a way of unhooking anything unwanted from the real essence of you. So I'd like you now to imagine you have a large, clear plastic bag. Into that bag, you're going to put how you look, your body, all of it, with its desirable and not so desirable parts, your health, and your well-being. Into the bag, pop in your upbringing, along with your attitudes and philosophies, your opinions, your judgments and your prejudices. Put your friends and family in there, and your work. Put your dreams and aspirations, your disappointments, successes and heartbreak in the bag. Put all your defining relationships in. Put in the things that light you up, that you love, and also the ones you can't abide. I never like to use the word hate. It's such a dismissive, immovable kind of word. Put your dog and cat in there. Everything but everything you identify with goes in the bag. Have you done that? Right, now close that clever zip thing on the bag and have a look at it. All you think about yourself is in that bag. Every possible way you identify yourself is in the bag in your hand. Where are you? You, the real, true, endless you, is the one holding the bag. That's the real you. I think it's kind of cool to think about ourselves like that. It's a way to free ourselves from anything that makes us feel small or confused or labelled. It's a way to encourage ourselves, because the more you can see who you are, the less you're attached to the things around you. I like to say we are more than just earthlings. I hope that explains one aspect of that, James. It's important, and it shows that you are so much greater than the sum of your parts. If I was to put it another way, I would say who you really are is the timeless, eternal, immortal you. It's the big you, the essence of you. It's the you beyond this time-space continuum. Thank you. Now, We're up to our fourth part of our questions, but instead of a question this time, I thought we might do a little mini hypnotic session for self-esteem today. The boss says this is okay. This means you'll go into a deeply relaxed state and we'll have a chat with your amazing subconscious mind while we give your chit-chat mind a little time out. We're going to do this around self-esteem, because without strong self-esteem, life can be such hard work, an uphill battle. Knowing your self-worth at a subconscious level enables you to be in control of your life and to live life on your terms, which is really what we all want. You mustn't do this if you're driving, because you've got to close your eyes. This is a tiny version of the therapy I'd normally do. Usually there'd be an investigative part that would show you why you have the issue in your life in the first place. So you need to be somewhere comfortable for this where you won't be disturbed. Sitting on a chair is good, with your feet on the floor and your hands on your lap. I want you to roll your eyes up as though you were looking into your eyebrows. Fix your gaze on a spot, real or imagined, right at the top of your head. And take a deep breath in and out, keeping your eyeballs rolled up, all the way up, breathe in and breathe out. Each time you blink, that's hypnosis coming upon you. So it's so incredibly easy and quite natural. One final time, keeping your eyeballs rolled all the way up. And this time, as you exhale, close your eyelids down. As you shut your eyelids down, the muscles in and around your eyes are feeling heavy, droopy, and drowsy. And now you can forget all about your eyes. Let your eyeballs relax. Just allow a drifting, floating feeling to develop in your body as you sink into a beautiful, deep state of relaxation. Relax your face, your shoulders, your arms, your hands. Relax your neck, your chest, your core, your legs, and your feet. Now I want you to imagine that you're looking down 10 steps. Drop your chin just a fraction so you get that same looking down feeling that you might get as you look over a balcony or down a flight of stairs. You're looking down 10 steps, and as I count, you'll move onto each step and you will see your feet, feel your feet, and hear your feet taking each step. You're moving on to step 10. As every muscle, every nerve turns loose, lets loose, and you go deeper. You're taking step 9 as you go deeper. Taking step 8, and you can see your feet, hear your feet, and feel your feet treading each step. As you move down, you're drifting down, traveling down to an even deeper level. Taking step 7, you're going deeper into an awareness of yourself. You're taking step 6, drifting way down deep. You're taking step 5, you're halfway down, and your conscious mind is floating away into the distance as you go deeper. You're taking step 4, as you drift into that peaceful, wonderful internal state of the subconscious mind. You're taking step 3. Every noise and sound around you just carries you deeper into hypnosis. Taking step 2, you gently, calmly, easily move to an even deeper level. You're taking step 1. Just sleep deeply. And as I click my fingers, you'll go deeper, drift deeper, and float deeper. Deeper just means going deeper into an awareness of yourself. Go deeper, drift deeper, sink deeper. I want you to imagine your eyes are glued shut, sealed shut, locked together. You feel perfectly relaxed and at ease about this. The harder you try to open them, the more they feel absolutely locked tight. Try to open your eyes and find they're glued shut. Go deeper. Try to open your eyes and find they're sealed shut. Go deeper. Try to open your eyes and find they're locked tight, sealed together, and go deeper. And at least 50 times deeper. And I want you now to just slowly rock your head gently from side to side a couple of times. You can feel your neck muscles are so loose, and your neck muscles are the first to tighten and the last to relax, and that shows you're in a perfect state of relaxation. Hypnosis is not about being asleep. It's a sleep of the nervous system. It's about being receptive and responsive. Now your conscious mind is going to have a little time out, while your brilliant and amazing subconscious mind is listening intently to everything I say. There's power in understanding, and an understanding and hypnosis, that's incredibly powerful. As you drift deeper down to a calming, healing, relaxing level, you know that your past does not equal your future. We are today instructing and reminding your subconscious mind that you are a person of inestimable value. You are a beautiful, talented, lovable human being, and you are spectacularly worthy, a person of high self-esteem, and absolutely, totally amazing. When you were born, you arrived fully confident. The universe created you as a perfect little being, and that's who you're designed to be. That's who you really are. You are commanding and compelling your crystal clear, calm, and focused mind to go right back to your original imprint and coding, as nature intended, and your brilliant mind is remembering that you are absolutely amazing. While your mind remembers, reactivates, and remanifests truth, this fact that you are and always have been full of self-confidence and self-esteem, this understanding is having a powerful, pervasive, and permanent impact on you. You have an amazing ability to cope with any and all challenges with effortless ease. You acknowledge that you are brimming with gifts, cleverness, and talents that are yours alone to enrich your own life and the lives of those around you. You are your own champion. You love yourself and you know you are totally lovable and more than enough. Your brilliant and amazing mind knows this, and you reinforcing it by repeating it and reminding yourself that you know you are worth it. You know you are unique. You know you are special, clever, talented, a brilliant, beautiful, absolutely worthy human being, completely at ease with yourself and the world around you. You recognize that you have all the resources you require within you to create a confident, successful life full of self-assurance. You acknowledge the value of who you really are. As you hear my words, you are literally reprogramming your mind, conditioning your mind, compelling and motivating your mind to be brimming with self-esteem so you feel happier every day in your own skin. As you go deeper into your subconscious mind, you fully and completely absorb the truth that you are more than enough. This knowledge about who you are sinks right in. Your relationships, your feelings about yourself, your interaction with others, all these things are being enhanced and upgraded in a powerful, permanent way because of the way you see yourself. You're able to let go of the past, to feel good about the present, and to have great expectations of the future. So, as you accept these suggestions, your brilliant mind is motivating you, commanding you, compelling you, conditioning you to love yourself today totally and to love your life. It's having the most profound, permanent, and positive healing effect on you. You will never ever need anyone or anything to make you feel good about yourself, because now you do such a spectacular job of making you feel good about you. You know that first and foremost, your opinion about yourself is what really counts. People think of you as a happy and self-confident person because of how you see yourself. They're drawn to you. You believe in yourself. You have faith in yourself. You like, love, and respect yourself. Your feeling of self-worth is unshakable and unquestionable. You are amazing and life is good because you've changed the way you speak to and about yourself. Now you take great pleasure in choosing positive words and thoughts and seeing how they are changing the way you see yourself and all of your life. You can truly say to yourself now, I am amazing. On the count of five, I'm going to bring you back to your full awareness and you're going to feel great. On the count of one, you're feeling wonderful. On the count of two, you're feeling worthy. On the count of three, you're feeling extraordinary, because the truth about you is that you are an extraordinary person. On the count of four, fill up your lungs and take some deep breaths as you feel sensation and awareness coming back to your body. You're feeling grounded and strong. On the count of five, just open your eyes, knowing that you are amazing. Thank you. So do write into us and let us know how you felt about that, because we would like to hear. And send us any more of your questions to either admin@coastaccessradio.org.nz or to me, Margo with a T, at margounlimited.com. Now we're going to finish our time together today with our usual message from the universe. Here we are for today. You must always focus on your true state, which is your state of wholeness, completeness, health, joy, and peace. You must see only that and never allow fear or doubt of any other state to invade who you really are. That is all you need to know. You do not need to know the path, the process, the ups and downs. You simply need to stand strong and clear in who you really are, because that is quite magnificent, and it is enough. Well, I found that quite powerful, that last one. Thank you so much for joining me on Ask Margo. I'm Margo de Coatsworth, and I look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.org.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.